All Ages Will Call Me Blessed, a program dedicated to the role of Mary in our lives, with Father Frederick Miller and Reverend Brother Augustine Hederman.
My soul doth magnify the Lord, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior.
And now, here is Brother Augustine.
Praise be Jesus and Mary. We're back here in this series called All Ages Will Call Me Blessed, and this time, in this segment, we'll be considering Mary's relationship with the Holy Spirit as spouse. And to begin, I'd like to quote from the Holy Father's general audience that he gave on the 2nd of May in 1990. He's speaking about the supreme union and love brought about between God and a human being by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on, "In this divine marriage with humanity, Mary answers the angel's announcement with the love of a spouse who is able to respond and to adjust to the divine choice in a perfect way. For this reason, especially since St. Francis of Assisi's time, the Church calls her the spouse of the Holy Spirit." And Father Miller, what is some meaning that the Church gives to this title, Spouse of the Holy Spirit?
Well, this is a very beautiful topic, and I'm happy that you read that passage from John Paul II, which gives credit to St. Francis.
Yes, of course.
You all know that the brothers of EWTN and this radio network mm-hmm. are Franciscan brothers, as Mother Angelica is a Poor Clare nun, which was an order founded by St. Francis and St. Clare to pray and to work for the salvation of the world, and how effectively Mother Angelica has responded to that charism, that grace. God bless her.
Amen.
Mary, the bride of the Holy Spirit. Can we just step back for a moment
mm-hmm.
and look at Israel again and the Church? Okay. The covenant is a very fundamental truth of divine revelation. God wanted to enter into a covenant with mankind, fallen away from him by sin. So the covenant is the way of reparation, the way of repairing the breach, mm-hmm. making peace, uniting again. So after God showed his power by leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, under the leadership of Moses and Aaron,
mm-hmm.
Yahweh willed to enter into a covenant with his people.
Yes.
And covenant really can be defined as a marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So Yahweh becomes the bridegroom, and Israel becomes the bride. And the covenant is the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the Annunciation, we have, in a certain sense, the beginning of the new covenant, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Although the covenant is sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the Annunciation, Mary images Israel as bride. And Yahweh, through the angel, asks Mary to consent to be the virgin bride who will become mother. And as such, Mary personifies Israel and the Church. And at that moment, mm-hmm. in a sense, by God's grace, Israel is transformed into the Church. And then the Church, visibly born, manifested on Pentecost, the Church is also bride. And Mary is the connecting link there. Israel is the bride. Mary personifies the bride. Mary is the beginning of the Church in the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we say that Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit, well, it's very difficult really to look at it, because it's such a multifaceted
mm-hmm.
term. But what that means is that the Holy Spirit in her unites us to Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes.
So she's the bride, she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit. She gives herself totally to the Holy Spirit so that all of humanity can become one with God, one with the Trinity through Jesus Christ. It's interesting, the fathers of the church call Mary the bridal chamber.
Mm-hmm.
The bridal chamber. Why? Because within her, the most significant marriage takes place, the marriage between God and man.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's through her relationship with the Holy Spirit that God and men always become one.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the incarnation took place in her.
Mm-hmm.
God and man become one in her womb. She's the bridal chamber of the incarnation,
mm-hmm.
of the sacraments. And so it's through her bonding with the Holy Spirit, it's always through the Holy Spirit united with Mary that men and women are united with God in the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhat complicated. No, it's not complicated. It seems complicated because it's so simple.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I really, really like the whole way that our Lord has chosen the spousal dimension of human life as a vehicle for his divine revelation throughout the Old and New Testaments, and such that Israel, as you say, is seen as the spouse of Yahweh, and the church is seen as the spouse of Jesus Christ, and how his real revelational gift of self comes to us as a bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary, that I love that imagery. And it's even the reason why the priest who stands in the person of Christ and acts in the name of Jesus Christ represents the divine bridegroom, and that's why he's male.
Exactly. Now, it's interesting that every human being standing before God, male or female, in that relationship with God, there's a feminine dimension there.
Yes.
That
yes.
God is always the bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
In the Christian dispensation, Jesus Christ is the bridegroom, and every believer is the bride. The
mm-hmm.
church in totality is bride, and every believer has a bridal relationship to Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, Jesus Christ gives us the Word, which
mm-hmm.
is the life-giving seed,
yes.
which within us causes us to be alive with his life.
Yes.
And that as bride, the church needs to receive from him the Word and to surrender to him in
yes.
love.
Yes.
And so the church's holiness is very much wrapped up with that bridal bridal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes. And this we see the crucial dimension of the sacrament of marriage
mm-hmm.
within the life of the church, to reflect that loving union of really Jesus and the church, and that loving union which is at the heart of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And in this context, we consider the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit in the inner life of God?
The Holy Spirit is the most difficult, I think, of the three divine persons. The Holy Spirit in the inner life of God is the love of the Father for the Son and the love of the Son from the Father. He proceeds from both the Father and the Son as love.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Catechism tells us that the Holy Spirit is working in the world from the very beginning. Right? That
mm-hmm.
God calls the world into being through the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then, after original sin, speaks through the prophets. He prepares Israel and the world for the coming of Christ. And actually, through the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Father is heard
mm.
through the prophets. But to see, the Holy Spirit's voice itself is not heard.
Right.
And then it's the Holy Spirit, as we've said repeatedly during these sessions, the Holy Spirit sanctifies Mary at the moment of her creation in the Immaculate Conception. He makes her holy. He creates her holy. He sanctifies her again. He sanctifies her womb for the incarnation and divinely fecundates her. So in other words, The divine person of the Word becomes flesh in her through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit works jointly with Jesus in the revelation of the love of the Father and in the work of the redemption. And now, in the mystery of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit causes the voice of Jesus to resound in the church through the preaching of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not the voice per se of the Spirit, it's the voice of Jesus that resounds in the church through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does for us is he draws us in faith, hope, and love to Jesus, and through Jesus he leads us to the Father.
Yeah, so it's interesting that there's the discrete presence of the Holy Spirit parallels Mary's discrete presence.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit's always bringing us really to the humanity of Christ, and through the humanity in their life. But Mary's also bringing us to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
That's right. There's a resemblance.
Right. I like Saint Irenaeus' image of the Father working with two hands, and one is this Son and the other is the Spirit. But your emphasis on the joint mission is beautiful and is reflected all throughout the Catechism. And in this, as we see in this inner life, as you said, that the Holy Spirit is the love between Father and the Son, then in the way that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work through creation and redemption outside of themselves, what is the relationship then of Mary to the Holy Spirit? Maybe we can continue to think on this, as you've already commented on it.
The work of Mary and the Holy Spirit
in the redemption, and maybe we can consider some new views of mediation as we consider earlier programs. But what is in the mystery of Mary as mediatrix? How can we see her relationship to the Holy Spirit such that it gives new light to the different forms of mediation?
Okay, let me just look for a moment here in the Catechism. There's a beautiful section on Mary and the Holy Spirit in the Catechism, paragraph 721 through 726. Mary, the all-holy Virgin Mother of God, is the masterwork of the mission of the Son and the Spirit in the fullness of time. For the first time in the plan of salvation, and because his Spirit had prepared her, the Father found the dwelling place where his Son and his Spirit could dwell among men. In this sense, the Church's tradition has often read the most beautiful text on wisdom in relation to Mary. That's beautiful, isn't it? That the Father found in her the dwelling place for his Son and for his Spirit.
Yes.
So she's the special way of finding the Spirit and the Son and the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So she's the tabernacle. The Church's tradition calls her more frequently than spouse, temple.
Right.
Temple par excellence.
Right.
So in her beauty, in her hiddenness, in her loveliness, we find dwelling in her the Spirit, the Son, and the Father.
Yes.
And because of her human, womanly relationship with each of the three divine persons, as our sister and as our mother, she can help us to receive the Spirit, to surrender to the Spirit, who then brings us to the sacred humanity of Jesus.
Yes.
And then Jesus leads us to the Father. De Montfort loves to comment on this, that Mary is the special dwelling place of the three divine persons.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the temple. So to find her, to enter into this temple, we find the divine persons, and then we succumb or surrender to the movement of the divine persons.
Yes.
Which is a movement of love.
Yes. Can you comment a little bit further on this humanity of Christ? And especially as we struggle in our own daily prayer life, and it's beautiful how the Catechism describes prayer as a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But can you just comment on, in a prayer life, the role of the humanity of Christ?
Well, Jesus' humanity is taken from Mary.
Yes, beautiful.
So his flesh and blood come from her. Right? It's in her that God creates the human souls of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in her that the divine person then assumes, takes up this true human nature,
mm-hmm.
a human body and blood, human soul, human intellect, human will. So that everything about the sacred humanity of Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, manifests the divine person,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the Son of God. And so through this sacred humanity, we come to know what God is like. And the sacred humanity reveals to us two things simultaneously: the love of the Father,
mm-hmm.
and also the love of a child of God,
mm-hmm.
for the Father. So Jesus shows us what the Father is like. He says, "He who sees me sees the Father." And he also then, in his perfect response to the Father as man, shows us how we need to respond to the Father. So when we pray, we need always in the Holy Spirit to look at that sacred humanity of Jesus, to listen to his words, to contemplate his deeds, even to listen to his silences.
Yes.
To see his perfect humility and obedience in the Passion,
mm-hmm.
to enter as deeply as possible into that, because he shows us what it is to be truly man, to be truly human.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. So we see Mary as really the temple of our Lord, and she's the one who held Jesus in her arms. And the Catechism, as you were just reading down, it moves on to a title called Seat of Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And can you explain a little bit what this Seat of Wisdom title means?
Well, it's related, I think, to the title Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
That just as the Ark of the Covenant was the dwelling place of Yahweh among the people of Israel,
mm-hmm.
so Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. And during the time of her pregnancy, the divine person of the Word dwelt in her corporeally,
mm-hmm.
and then after his birth from her womb, the Trinity continues to dwell in her,
mm-hmm.
by grace as nowhere else.
Mm-hmm.
She's most filled with grace, most filled with charity, and she is the human person who most resembles the divine person of the Word made flesh. So when we contemplate her and her life, her virtue, her prayer, we come to know who Jesus is and what it means to respond properly to him.
Yes, that's beautiful. And in this, as we're considering Mary's relationship with the Holy Spirit, we see that the Holy Spirit is really the principle of unity in all of the disciples, because we are baptized into one Spirit, to one Lord. And now, what is Mary's role as far as Christian unity?
Mm-hmm. Well, all of us who are baptized into Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are truly brothers and sisters in Christ. Mary is the mother of Christ. She's the mother of all the members of Christ. And it's her prayer, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
that her prayer is ordered to the unification of all the baptized in one church under one head.
Mm-hmm.
She wants all of her children to be at peace, to be at one with one another in prayer, in belief, in sacramental life,
mm-hmm.
under the same shepherds.
Yes.
The disunity of Christians in different churches is certainly a scandal,
mm-hmm.
and it's not what our Lord willed. He founded one church, and he prayed that all those who believe in him would be one.
Right.
And so Mary, in the Holy Spirit, joins Jesus in that prayer for the unity of all Christians,
mm-hmm.
in one church.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think the Blessed Mother, who is the mother of all Christians, would feel in her heart, when in her Immaculate Heart, when her beloved children are separated from one another?
Well, Mary suffered intensely with Jesus, mm-hmm. as a result of human sin. And I'm sure that one of the things that Jesus suffered from most was the awareness, the knowledge that those who claimed to believe in him and to be united with him through baptism would be at odds with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He died to unite
yes.
all men and women with the Father and with one another. Mm-hmm. He wants there to be just one family of
right.
of man. And so I'm sure one of the deepest sufferings that he experienced on the cross was the knowledge that there would be this terrible fracturing of unity
mm-hmm.
among those who believe in him and who are baptized in him.
Right.
And so Mary suffered that along with him as she stood at the foot of the cross.
Right. Right.
You asked a little while back about new theories
oh,
of
right.
mediation mm-hmm. in the Holy Spirit. And what I need to say is this on that. We talked a little bit, I think, about the miraculous medal.
Yes.
And Mary appearing to St. Catherine Laboure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the miraculous medal images Mary's maternal mediation.
Mm-hmm.
She's in heaven. She's related to the earth. She's crushing the head of the serpent under her foot. She's standing on the globe on the miraculous medal.
Mm-hmm.
She stands between God, between Jesus Christ and us, her hands extended,
mm-hmm.
his grace flowing through her. Reminds me of the image of St. Bernard, Mary as the aqueduct of,
right.
of divine grace. That's mm-hmm. a beautiful image,
mm-hmm.
and there's really nothing wrong with that image. But some contemporary theologians have said, well, in order to more dynamically envision Mary's mediation
right. mm-hmm.
and her relationship to the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
it might be better not to see her as standing with the Trinity or with Jesus Christ facing us and being sort of like a bridge between, because many people could misunderstand then her role in light of Jesus as the one mediator.
Right.
And so perhaps it's better to envision Mary as standing with us
mm-hmm.
in the church
mm-hmm.
and saying to us in the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, don't be afraid, trust him, trust my son, and do whatever he tells you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, her mediation is in the communion of the church, standing with believers
mm-hmm.
by her example and by her prayer and some mysterious intervention that we really
mm-hmm.
just trying to understand. She encourages us to trust Jesus, to believe in him, to let go of our sins, and to surrender our whole life to him. And really, that shows her as the bride of the Spirit, because the Spirit's work is to lead us to Jesus and to unite us to Jesus and through Jesus to the Father. So then, that's what it means for her to be the bride of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
She's always with him, with
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit. The Spirit loves to be with her and in her, like husband and wife. They love to be with each other.
Yes.
They share each other's desires. They share each other's work.
Mm-hmm.
They share all the disposition, all the sentiments of one another's hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So Mary and the Spirit are always together. And as our mother, first of all, by her example in the Scripture, by her heavenly intercession, and by some mysterious influence that she and the Holy Spirit work together in us, they're always inviting us, prompting us to surrender ourselves totally to Jesus Christ. I think that's the way we're looking at maternal mediation now,
mm-hmm.
which really is much more clearly bespeaks her role as bride of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it also safeguards, I think, in a more explicit way, the unique soul mediation of Jesus Christ.
Right. That's beautiful. And one time I remember just as I was praying and imaging Our Lady, trying to get a picture of mine, what her role is, I just pictured her putting her arms underneath me and lifting me up to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then she being the spouse of the Holy Spirit, you could see both of them lifting us up and putting us face to face with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Listen to what the Catechism says. This is paragraph 724. In Mary, the Holy Spirit manifest the Son of the Father, now become the Son of the Virgin. She is the burning bush of the definitive theophany. In other words, the final manifestation of God.
Mm-hmm.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, she makes the Word visible in the humility of his flesh. It is to the poor and the first representatives of the Gentiles that she makes him known. Finally, through Mary, the Holy Spirit begins to bring men, the object of God's merciful love, into communion with Christ.
Mm.
So the Holy Spirit begins through Mary to bring people into communion with Christ. And then the Catechism lists who the Spirit through Mary brings into communion with Christ. The humble are always the first to accept him.
Yes.
Shepherds, Magi, Simeon and Anna, the bride and groom at Cana, and the first disciples. Okay? So the Holy Spirit uses Mary, and she loves to be used as the handmaid of the Lord, as the mother of the Lord and the mother of the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
He uses her to bring men and women into communion with Christ.
That's beautiful. And you know, Mother Angelica, in founding EWTN, WEWN, says that the inspiration that came for the founding of these was just a tiny little whisper, and she could have missed it if she didn't have that silence of heart and really the humility before that mystery of divine inspiration mm-hmm. in our souls. And so we too want to be like Mary, wrapped in silence, in the silence of an inner stillness, to be attentive to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit.
And Mary does that for us in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. She helps us to be still so that we can hear and surrender.
Very good. And to close off this meditation on Mary and the Holy Spirit, Father, would you give us your blessing?
Through the intercession of Mary, temple and bride of God the Holy Spirit, may Almighty God bless all of those who listen, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for being with us as we've presented All Ages Call Me Blessed, proclaiming the role of Mary in our lives with your host, Father Frederick Miller, and Reverend Brother Augustine Hederman.
My soul doth mine.